Right now it's 82 at Talk Radio WBOB.
The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
1.7 billion were there for his birth. 220 countries tuned in for his first step.
Woohoo!
The world stood still for that stolen kiss. And as he grew, so did the technology. Broadcast live and unedited to an audience around the globe.
Cool, man.
Coming to you now, enclosed in the largest studio ever constructed, and along with the Great Wall of China, one of only two man-made structures visible from space. Now, it's...
I'm speaking plainly with Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville, and welcome back to the final hour of this week's edition of I'm Speaking Plenty. Holly Lowe joining me in the studio.
The funnest 3 hours.
The funnest 3 hours. Not the fastest, the funnest. The most funnest. Educational.
Most educational.
You know, we get a lot of good comments on the webpage, and I really enjoy listening and reading to all of them. And I do read them, and I try to respond to everybody. We've got a great show coming in next week. Angela Walker is going to come in and sit in the co-host seat. And you hear her on Saturday mornings with her colleague, Howard Vergalis, and they do real estate radio. Just some absolutely wonderful people. It's going to be interesting to see Angela's take on our high-volume, high-energy, high-blood-pressure show. I'm looking forward to that. She's going to bring a different light. And then I guess Matt Schellenberg's coming back in. He's on a three-week rotation. Joni's got him set up on 3 weeks. This was kind of a special week, but he was supposed to be in next week, so he's coming back again, and his wife will be in soon to talk to us about some things. But of all the comments that were brought up over the last couple of segments, five or six of them that I read had something to do with the homeless and the landing. And, you know, you had a conversation during the course of the week with the current leaseholder, Tony Slayman. And Tony's been a fan of the show and a friend of the show, and he was out of town, and I guess you spoke with him, and he gave you permission to quote him on a few things.
He did. I've been trying to get him to come on the show ever since all this mess started, and my husband and I, back in the day, loved going down to the landing. We would, it was usually because of his rotating shift, we would go during the week, and never had problems finding parking because in the week, there's always a spot to park.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going Florida Georgia weekend to grab a group of friends and go down and enjoy the atmosphere of college football, totally different than NFL football.
Absolutely.
And you either A, have to park on one side and take the river taxi, and then we went through years where there was no river taxi, and or get lucky and park down there early and pray nobody broke into your car and park under the bridge. And you would have to worry about somebody vandalizing your car.
Mm-hmm.
And the city promised him parking.
Absolutely.
It was going to be included in the contract. It was going to be done within a 10-year period. He said, Jacksonville is a swamp. It's a rigged city. And I said, well, you're not telling me anything I don't already know. And he said that the truth is going to find its way out.
Well, here's what's happened. And a lot of folks don't understand that this is a game. It's a chess game. And Tony Slayman and Slayman Enterprises have had a court battle going on with the city of Jacksonville for months. For months and months, if not maybe over a year.
Yeah, I believe it's closer to over a year.
And Tony didn't make a big deal about it because he wanted to keep it quiet, and that way maybe the city would come to him and come up with a resolution. Well, the city and the administration decides, because they've got Shad Khan in their pocket and they know that he wants to develop that area badly, they go and they do this full-blown media push and say, well, you know, we're going to declare him in breach of contract and we're going to move forward with evicting him and canceling the lease. That was just a media play.
Right.
It was a media play to
is to get, persecute him in the media, so that it's trial by media.
Right, and then swing public opinion. And you, when you see these man on the street interviews that the press is doing now, all the television stations are doing, they're all saying, well, yeah, the landing's run down and it's time for a change and it needs to be fixed up and this and that. Whose fault is that? It's not Tony Slayman's fault. It's the fact that the city kept making endless promises about what they were going to do, and then they always found a better reason to spend the money somewhere else. You know, this bed tax money that all the city councilmen say, oh, well, it has to go to the Jaguars, and it has to go to this, and it has to go to that, and it has to go to the sports venue. It could be going to the landing, too. The landing is a venue by which tourists get some benefit from. That's the reason for the bed tax, is to help out tourist-related venues. The landing is a tourist-related venue. It's surrounded by two of the biggest hotels we have downtown. That makes it a tourist-related venue. But they refuse to help Tony Slayman out because they look at Tony as the strip mall king. I can tell you this. Tony's got a lot of real estate property. A lot of it is strip malls. And all of it is successful. All of it is clean. All of it is upkeep. Is fantastic. And all of it, for the most part, is occupied. But the landing is not, because he can't get any help. He can't get the parking he needs. He can't get the security he's supposed to get. He can't get anything that the city has promised him. But yet the city does an end run and decides to blanket the media so that Joe Q taxpayer, who doesn't live, eat, and breathe politics like you and I do and many others around here, understand that this is a game. It's a game of one-upmanship. And if you fall for it and you believe that the city is the victim here over Tony Slayman and the landing is run down because of Tony Slayman, I will tell you this, you are absolutely wrong. Absolutely 100% wrong. It's not because I like Tony. It's because in this particular case, they are right. They have not gotten the help they needed. I have asked every city councilman that's come through this door at some point in time or another, where's the parking for the landing? Where's the parking for the landing? And they all say, all the money got spent here, or we don't have allocated funds for that, or this or that, or some other hokey excuse as to why they aren't responsible for the failure of the landing. And in all actuality, the landing is not a failure. You go down there for the Christmas tree lighting ceremony. You go down there for what used to be the lighted boat parade before they moved it until after Christmas. You go down there for 4th of July. You go down there for any of the major events, the college football events and everything. Slayman pulls out the red carpet. He does everything he can, and that place is packed, and it is a successful local venue. But Monday through Thursday, because of the security, because of the parking issues, yeah, nobody's going downtown.
His office staff, when we first were requesting him to come on the show, sent me a list of all the concerts they hold down there and events they have for nonprofits. And Tony said, I don't make a dime off of it.
They're
and
free.
I let them come down here. It's free. All the people have to do is either pay for their parking or pay for the river taxi or pay for a way to get down here.
Yeah.
He said the landing gives them the space and does not charge them a dime.
Right. He offered me an opportunity to take a radio studio and put it in one of those units down there and do a regular show from the landing behind a big glass wall. They do this in New Orleans, right on Bourbon Street. There is a local radio guy who does his show from Bourbon Street behind a big glass wall. Probably feels like an animal in a cage at the zoo. I know that's kind of the way I would feel. But he offered that to me. And he said, I won't charge you a thing, Bill. It'll help draw people down here to the landing. He's always thinking about drawing people down to the landing. He gets up in the morning thinking about that. He's a really good guy. So people, please don't let him be victimized in the local media that he's the reason why vilified. I'm sorry. Let him be victimized. Don't let him be vilified. He's the reason why it's been as successful as it is. And if the city would have kept up their end of the bargain, it would be a fantastic jewel in the crown of that which is downtown
Jacksonville. And even with no tenants, it's still clean.
Yeah.
If you go down there and cut through one end to the other,
it's
the
still
floors
clean.
Are spotless.
In fact, I challenge you guys, if you're listening to the sound of my voice, go down to the landing tomorrow. It's Sunday. It's supposed to be reasonably good weather. Don't wait till too late because of afternoon showers, but go down to the landing. Go down to the landing. Don't judge unless you see it for yourself. Look how clean it is. Look at what a great venue it could be if the city would just come through, kick out a lot of the homeless that hang out in those pagodas along the river. That's a totally different story right there. We're going to step away for just a minute. We'll be right back. Join us, won't you?
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly. What you got to say? To join the conversation, call 222-TALK. Say, hey, hey, hey. That's 222-8255. What you got to say? Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. While we're on the subject of the landing, I've just got a post through that this gentleman on line one here, David, has a comment relative to his experience at the landing. David, welcome to I'm Speaking Plainly.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, buddy.
Good. Listen, you know, I was at the landing probably a couple of weeks ago. A friend of mine was in town. He travels all over the country. They were doing a concert at Daly's place, and I took him to lunch, and we went to the landing, and we sat outside and really had an incredible experience. In fact, he had mentioned that this was one of the best lunches he had had in years. He was so fascinated by sitting there watching the boats go by and the drawbridge went up and down. And I mean, the meal was so-so, you know, it was okay. But I mean, it was, the atmosphere was, you know, unbeatable. And, you know, like I said, he travels all over the country. And so I was surprised to hear him say that, because I'm kind of used to the landing. But, you know, when he did say that, you know, I was like, you know what, you're right. This really is a great place to eat lunch.
You know, David, if you listen to the show enough, you know that I'm berating on the landing in downtown and all the money we waste on trying to draw people downtown. But I'm a frequent visitor to the landing by boat. I used to take my boat and go down and tie up down there on Friday afternoon and actually stay down there. I had a liveaboard and stay down there at the tie-up at the dock until Sunday afternoon and enjoy all the facets of the landing. And, of course, it's nice to, you know, when it gets a little hot, you go back to the boat and you hang out for a little while, and then you leave the boat and you go back and you tour around. The landing offers a great starting point, and it does have a nice view and good food. I mean, you've got Hooters down there. You had the All-American Cafe was down there. It's all changed hands since I was there, but I agree with you, David. It's more about, you know, you sit, you watch the water roll by, you watch the different boats go through, you watch the train bridge
Finn
going
McCool's
up and down.
Finn McCool's used to have a stuffed pork chop that was to die for.
Right. I mean, there's a good reason to go down there, but there are a few nuances that need to be corrected, but it's not Tony that has control over that. The wharfs, I haven't been there since Hurricane Irma, but apparently the floating docks were torn up pretty badly by the rising high water, and there's some of them that are unusable and you can't tie up to them. Those are the responsibility of the city.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, I really don't get to hear your show. I could. It's just my radio broke, and so all I can listen to is AM radio. So really, one of the first times that I'm listening to your program.
Well, David, I appreciate that. We try to offend as many people as we possibly can on
And, David,
local...
if you have a cell phone, you can pull up the WBOB app on your phone.
And it's free.
And it's free.
And you can listen to me anytime. You know, even when I'm off the air, you can go on demand and go to that on demand and scroll over to I'm Speaking Plainly, and you can be shopping.
Now that my FM radio is broken, I'll be listening.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, and if you miss any part of the show and you want to hear it again tomorrow night from 6 to 9, we're on AM 1600.
I'll admit I don't know that much about, you know, the guy Tony that you've been talking about or anything like that. I will say that I'm kind of a big believer in Shad Khan and his ability to maybe turn things around downtown. Maybe I'm wrong in my thinking. I don't know. I know the bed tax went a lot to him or to the stadium or whatever. But
David,
you know,
there's
I'm hoping he does some amazing things down there.
There's no doubt in my mind that Shad Khan could throw enough money at something to make it successful. He's done that on many things. He just upped his bid to $1 billion for Wembley Stadium. That's a jump from $760 million to $1 billion, so he wants it bad. But, you know, the idea that I'm worried about is that we're relying too much on one person to shape the future of what our downtown and our core of our city looks like. Now, if Shad wanted to partner with Tony Slaman or partner with someone else to improve the landing, I think that would be great. But I don't know that Shad Khan has ever taken a second position to anyone with respect to his investments. He seems kind of like a control-oriented person. And
does he have any plans, do you know, of the landing area? Or is that... I remember they had come out with some kind of...
They had some plan that was relative to the shipyards project, David, and that was... That's basically the area from just on the other side of the Berkman Plaza all the way up to just short of where the Channel 7 studios are, which encompasses Metro Park and some of the old shipyard slipways that are there. So basically from the Berkman Plaza near the Maxwell House coffee plant all the way up to just south of the stadium, right there, right across the street from the stadium. That's considered the shipyards project.
I, for one, would be sad to see the landing go. Admittedly, I don't go there that often, and I think I went there a lot more often when I was riding jet skis and things like that, but those days are kind of gone for me. But I really enjoyed myself, and I really took a second look at the landing and was like, man, what a shame that this place is not thriving, you know, with people. And especially hearing it from someone who travels the country and eats lunch at a lot of places and said this was his number one stop.
Well, that's wow. Right off the bat, that's got to make you feel good because you took him there. Landing is a good place to go, and it will continue to be a good place. I just, if they're going to change regimes, if they really want to get rid of the Slaman family, then they ought to do it the right way. They ought to step up and say, we didn't come through with what we promised. We didn't give them the necessary materials that we needed or that he needed in order to make it a success. But don't try and label him as the reason why it failed. I don't think it's failed. I don't think it's failed at all. Obviously, with your friend, it didn't seem like it failed. It seemed like it was a wonderful experience. And I'll tell you this. I'm going to make this commitment. Tomorrow's Sunday. Nothing really going on. I'm going to go to the landing tomorrow. I'm going to go to the landing around noontime. I'm going to go to Hooters. I'm going to get some wings. I'm going to sit out there on one of those outside little patio tables. I'm going to watch the boats go by and watch the drawbridges go up. And I'm going to have a little day at the landing and spend my money down there. And maybe I'll run into Tony because he's coming back sometime today, I think. And he walks that venue all the time.
I will say he was shocked at the drawbridge because of the fact that the boats going under were pretty small. And he was like, they actually stopped traffic for one little boat like that. And I was like, yeah, I think they even used to do it during drive time, if I remember.
Yeah, the railroad bridge, here's a little thing. Next time you take someone down, you can be the trivia expert. The railroad bridge over there, it's over 100 years old, and the whole thing goes up and down. Get this now. The whole thing goes up and down. It's so perfectly balanced with a 5-horsepower motor. It takes a 5-horsepower motor to raise that huge railroad bridge, and they designed it that way so that small horsepower, big counterbalance, and it works It works with very little energy whatsoever. It's been working that technology for over 100 years. Pretty decent.
Wow.
Yep. All right, David. Thanks so much
thank
for your
you.
Call, buddy. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you
thank
soon.
You.
Keep you listening.
Thanks.
What a great conversation with a gentleman who found us on the radio.
Yeah.
Because his other radio was broken. I'll take that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Maybe there'll be a lot of broken radios and guys will tune us in on the AM band.
I actually pick the station up better on the AM side.
Yeah, but you drive a Mustang.
So, we didn't drive the Mustang tonight. We've got a problem with the ball joint.
Mm-hmm.
And
tire shaking when you go down the road.
She's in the shop, so getting that worked on.
She's in the shop.
She's in the shop.
Your husband's not changing ball joints?
No.
Tom, pick up his man card. He's over in master control sitting down. Just pick up his man card. Ball joints are one of the easiest things you can do.
Eric is about to have surgery. He's not doing anything strenuous.
Oh,
he's not getting under any cars. He's They gave us a list. Do you know the dogs? He's got to be in a separate room the night before the surgery. He cannot have the dogs in the bedroom. Clean sheets on everything, and he's got to shower and scrub with this special soap.
Okay,
and
so wait a minute. Not wanting to throw your husband under the bus because I like him. He's a good guy, but... But you're listing all of these things like clean sheets. He doesn't normally get clean sheets.
We change the sheets on the bed once a week. But
once a week?
Once a week.
Wow. That's awfully frequent. I'm a bachelor, though.
Oh, yeah, you're a bachelor. You can get away with that.
And he's got a shower?
Twice.
A week?
The night before and the night of.
Okay. Just twice a week, I thought you were
and,
saying.
And no shaving. He can't shave his beard. He can't do any of that. They said that something as innocuous as stubble on his face could get some type of minor
infection
and they don't want anything near the shoulder. I couldn't believe the list of stuff. I'm like, really?
Look, just sell him for parts. Just sell him for parts. He's got a few good parts left in him. Just sell him for parts while they're in there.
I'm not doing that. I love that man.
Hey, John, don't sign any forms. When they're rolling you down the aisle, they're getting ready to, don't sign any forms. They may tell you that this is just a form, you know, that's just, don't. Power of attorney giving everything to her. You know how that is. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill. Hey, we're going to step away for a couple minutes. We'll be right back. Phone lines are open. 222-TALK. 222-8255. I know we got a couple of callers waiting. We'll go to them just as soon as we get back. If you'd like to send us an email, you can. Bill@600WBOB.com. Bill@600WBOB.com. Or snail mail. Send it to I'm Speaking Plainly, 7235 Bonneville Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32256. We'll be right back. Join us, won't you?
To I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay. I'm talking and the light's not on. Oh, it's been a long night. You know, when a night starts off with Matt Schellenberg in the studio, it just, things just seem to go there with their own mind. I can't wait to get Seal in here. His lovely new wife, his new bride. You know, what a wonderful thing. What a wonderful testament to the guy. You know, he's my age, if not a few years older. They just got married a couple of weeks ago. They're happy and giddy like little high school kids, you know, when you see them out in public.
Well, you know, it's kind of like the whole unicorn myth. I heard a female talking on the other end of his cell phone. I haven't actually seen a wife.
I have. I know Seal. Seal. Yeah, she's an activist, great person. Wonderful lady. Still waiting for my Miss America to come along. We'll see what happens. Anyway, okay. She is a great person. Let's go to Paul. Bring up Paul. Paul, good evening. Welcome to I'm Speaking Plainly.
For the past few months, I have inflicted upon you, and you have patiently endured my fantasy.
Leave it to Beaver.
Year 2018. But tonight it has a different twist. Tonight it deals with reality because Beaver, Jerry Mathers, is 70 years old today.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
June 2nd, 1948, yes.
I'll be.
So, no special comments. You said something about the call screener said you want to tell us about a website.
I want to bring to your attention a website called secondvote.com. It's the number 2ndvote.com. And what it is, it's a database of several hundred businesses and corporations, and it lists all the different ways that these companies spend their money and the different causes that they support. For example, CSX supports gay and lesbian groups here in the state of Florida. Now, it would seem to me CSX might have better things to do with their money, like trying to keep their trains on the tracks and from derailing all the time, or keeping their trains moving instead of blocking grade crossings. I cannot imagine the Seaboard Coastline Railroad, the predecessor to CSX, I cannot imagine them supporting gay and lesbian causes, but that's the state of things today.
Unless, Paul, you have a large number of homosexuals that work for you, and then you want to garner their support, make the workplace a happy place, and then be able to apply for federal grants and allocations based on the fact that you are an inclusive, tolerant corporation, which seems to be the big scam nowadays, to be an inclusive, tolerant corporation instead of just being a corporation that makes money. Paul, thank you for your call tonight. I really appreciate it. Long-time listener. Good to have him around. Yeah.
So, always enjoy the long-time listeners.
Tow Truck Mike, Paul, and Marty, and Rice. We're not from Rice tonight. Paul brings up an interesting discussion item. Why do I have to know whether you're a homosexual or not? Why do I have to know? Why do you feel the need to tell me? I just don't get that. Don't try to convert me. Do whatever you want to do in the privacy of your own home. Don't do it on a park bench. Don't do it on the, you know, a public street. I will tell you that when I see two men walking down the street holding hands or with their arms around each other, man, it just doesn't look right. It makes me start thinking about all the ways society is falling apart. It makes me start to think about people that are deliberately trying to change that law of nature about survival of the fittest and the male lion on the African plain. I don't know. It's tough.
Disturbs me because I didn't used to have an opinion one way or another. I didn't used to care. I had a live and let live attitude. Even though I was raised religious, and then we started going back to church again, and I don't go to one of these touchy-feely churches that says, just let people be. They preach the good old-fashioned Bible, and it's wrong. It's man and a woman are the core of our family, and they have children. Two women aren't a mommy and a daddy. Two men aren't a mommy and a daddy. And the networks that make it look like it's okay for two guys to adopt a child or for a woman to go get a sperm donor, it's wrong.
Well, we haven't talked about this tonight, but is what Roseanne Barr tweeted from the privacy of her own home, on her own time, from her own phone, is that any more terrible than what Samantha Bee said on her national cable channel program about Ivanka Trump? And the word that she used, the C word, I hate to be a grown adult man and have to use things like the N word and the C word or the B word or all this other, but anyway, so she, and rightfully so, that's probably the single worst word you can ever call a woman. And to do that as a woman from your show to someone that really doesn't have a dog in the hunt. I mean, Ivanka Trump just happens to be the daughter of the president. She is a very intelligent young lady, apparently a great mom and a great wife, and yet she's now under attack because her last name is Trump. That's wrong on so many different levels. But is what Roseanne Barr did so exponentially worse than what Samantha Bee did on her show? I don't think so. In fact, if I had to judge the two, I would certainly say not because it was Valerie Jarrett, not because she made some reference to someone from the Obama administration. I don't care about that. I'm talking about when you look at it as a whole, is what she did so much worse than what Samantha Bee did? And I say no. In fact, I think it's the other way around. Samantha Bee is the one that should be fired from her show.
What disturbs me the most about all of this is that Roseanne felt the need to start backpedaling immediately and say, oh, it was an Ambien-fueled tirade. Just, you know what? Own it. I'm going to have more respect for you if you say, What I said was the truth, and if they want to fire me, they can fire me.
And they did.
And they did.
And her talent agency dropped her, which is pretty much death in Hollywood. But really, does it matter?
Who cares?
People talk about this, you know, Roseanne's life and career are over. No, they're not.
No, they're not.
She owns 75 acres of macadamia nut farm on one of the most expensive plots of land on the face of the earth, Hawaii. She owns 75 acres on the Big Island of Hawaii that grows macadamia nuts. One of the, except for the civet coffee bean, you know what the civet coffee bean is?
Yeah, the one that...
The civet cats eat the coffee beans and then poop out the hard shells, which then are harvested by farmers that are then sold for $25 to $40 a cup for this coffee to idiots in the United States who feel that this coffee is...
It's got to be millennials.
Anyway, the macadamia nut is the most expensive nut on the face of
it
the
earth. It is delicious.
Except for some of the Hollywood nuts, but they were talking about something completely different. But she owns 75 acres of those trees. She's not hurting.
So she obviously invested her money well from the first show.
Yeah. In fact, she disappeared from television and appearances for 25 years and was okay with that. So, you know, it's... For the people to do
and
the
nightly
shows. And
what kills me is they want to bring on some guy, Tom Arnold, that she was married to for about 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And they want to interview him.
There's a pillar
him.
Of society right there.
Oh, yeah.
I knew this was coming. I knew it was coming. It was just a matter of time. Look at her social media. You know what? Everybody stop looking at people's social media. We live our lives today based on what somebody put on Twitter, what somebody put on Facebook. You know what? If you're out there within the sound of my voice and you follow me, Bill Hay, on Twitter, or you listen to what I post on the I'm Speaking Plainly webpage, and you live your life by that, your life is pretty poor. It truly is. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. We're going to step away. One more segment of us to go, and then we'll be right back. I guess next week. Are you coming back next week, or is it just me and Angela?
No, it's you and Angela and Matt next week.
All right. The following week?
Following week, we may talk.
Yeah, we'll talk. All right. Sounds good. Well, Holly will be back with me at least for the last segment here in just a couple of minutes. We're going to step away. Phone lines are open. 222-TALK. 222-8255. Why don't you try and see if you can be our last caller of the night. Get in line. We got a couple lines open. We'd love to hear from you. This is I'm Speaking Plenty. We'll be right back.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville, and welcome back to the last segment. Wow, it goes by quick. 11 minutes left. Yeah. So anyway, out there in radio land, by the magic of these electrons traveling through the airwaves, my first co-host is out there listening with her new guy and her daughter and her fiance. So it's like they're all
very nice.
They're doing the Waltons thing. They're circling around the radio. They got the cats there with her. The fire is flickering over here in the corner. You
gosh,
know?
I hope they don't have a fireplace.
You know, it really upsets me, though. I love this girl to death. She's really, you know what? I shouldn't even be talking to her. We have a pact. We had a pact, you know? I had 3 more years to make it to 60. And then if we were single then, we were going to team up and finish the rest of our days together. She made that pact with me 7 years ago on the radio. And then she goes out and finds the love of her life now. Yeah, once again, Bill's got that big letter L on his forehead. So I'm going to have to find...
It's not too late yet?
No. I'll find somebody in the home with the walker. I'll have that souped-up walker with the tennis balls on there, you know, and I'll be sliding it down the hallway and some woman will step out. Yeah, that's the way it is. But Carol... Yeah, she left me. She kicked me to the curb again. Anyway, so we got Carol out there listening. We got next week's co-host. She's listening, Angela Walker from Watson Real Estate and Real Estate Radio, heard here on WBOB every Saturday morning with Howard Regalis. Great people. Absolutely fantastic. When I first met them, I probably insult half the people I meet for the first time, and then I fall in love with them later. You know, when I first met Angela and Howard, I think probably within the first paragraph, I said, you know, I don't trust realtors any farther than I can throw them, except these guys. They really are good people. And there is a reason to have a realtor. The paperwork nightmare is amazing.
Yep.
Buying a home, just had a guy out at the airport. He and his wife bought their first home. And they've been trying to buy for 8 months. But they had a little Yahoo realtor who, you know, she does it out of the trunk of her car and is not really affiliated with anybody. And she's got a license. But, you know, it's just something for her to do while the husband's off working at Atlantic Shipbuilding. And she's just kind of doing this on the side. Well, Angela and Howard, they do it for real. Every day, all day, selling houses, working on the holiday. I think Angela said she was out like selling a house or closing a house or something other on Christmas, I think, one day. Or, you know, it was one of the major holidays. They're out selling houses. So, you know, when you do it for real, it becomes a flow and it gets easier and you know where the pitfalls are and you know
what
to look
for. Well, you know, they make it look so easy on these real estate shows on TV.
Yeah.
And then I work with a gal who just sold her home and bought another home. And what she went through, it made me appreciate the fact that we owned our property a long time and built our house. Because I would never want to have to go through, you know, they told her they were going to fix things. She got it in the contract. It came time to do the walkthrough. It wasn't done. Just little things like that. And she said it wasn't until she threatened to get an attorney to sue that the stuff started getting taken care of.
Yeah. And...
I said, you can't use your cousin's sister's brother just because they're a realtor to draw paperwork for you. You need to get somebody that's licensed, that's insured, and has a good reputation in the community.
And all of that is accomplished by the two people I keep promoting tonight, Angela and Howard. Just listen to the show a couple of times on Saturday. You'll be hooked. I get up in the morning on Saturday. I could be out working in the yard, working around the farm, working in the shop, whatever. I've got the radio blaring, and I'm listening to Angela and Howard on the weekend. So it's a good thing. It's a real good thing. And you guys that are out there listening to my voice tonight, you'll get to hear the at least one of them. I don't know where one or both is coming, but I think it's just Angela. I don't know. I don't get control of my life anymore. But Angela, you at least get a chance to hear Angela sitting over there in your seat. And then, of course, I'll go negotiate with your husband as to whether or not you can come back in the following week.
Oh, okay.
We'll send him on an all-expense paid.
Let me know how that works out.
We'll send him on an all-expense paid trip or something other to Best Bet over near Regency and Monument. And go from there. Maybe by then we'll have some more updates on the Katrina Brown story. I don't see. Wait. Oh, yep. Somebody's in the competition. Let's see who it is. Welcome. Who is this? Jason. Hey, Jason. How you doing? Welcome to the show. You're our last caller for tonight.
Hey, I'm just calling because I heard there's some talk about the EBT program and stuff like that, people taking advantage of it. I came down here from Wisconsin to Florida about three months ago, and was displaced from a job, was in a fire up there, and I had a uncle that lived down in the area. So I come down here, and he wasn't able to help me. So I have a wife and two children. And, you know, the state of Florida just took me in when it comes to that. I had to get a job and stuff and get on my feet. And until I could do that, you know, I had to get on assistance and to get food stamps for my family. And,
but did you stay there?
Well, I basically, just started out working and, was staying, basically with my uncle for a week or two. I think it was around 2 weeks. And then once I had got my first check and my wife had gotten a job, we had saved that and, we were able to work a deal out with a local landlord who let us move in without a security deposit. And then, we were able to work that off and we've saved enough now that we've actually, worked it even out even further to where we're actually going to be buying the house we're living in.
Wow.
We're going to be renting.
See, and you're the exception.
You are truly the exception to the rule, Jason. You really are. Most people get on it and they stay on it like it's owed to them. Wow.
It reaffirms my faith.
Jason, thank you so much for the call. I hope you'll continue to listen and call us again in the future, man. You are truly a way to shut down the show tonight. That was a great call. Glad to have That was good.
It's nice to know that there are still folks out there that have a higher sense of being and purpose in their lives, and the last thing he wants to do is be a teddy bear recipient on Christmas morning down at the Schulzbacher because he can't get his stuff together, and the only Christmas present his kids are going to be getting is a bear from our friend Bill.
Right. I just got a cryptic message. Everybody that I want to listen tonight is listening. Angela said, from the TV show. Did I say TV show? Maybe I did. From the radio show, Real Estate Radio, here on Saturday morning.
I think
on AM
I mentioned the silly real estate TV shows
oh,
out there.
Oh, maybe you did.
Maybe she
okay.
missed.
All right.
Yeah, she missed
yeah. So, see, now you're getting me in trouble with people out there. Anyway, yeah, there are a lot of the, what is it, the flipping homes and flipping houses and
flip or flop and.
Yeah. Which apparently those guys are going through a divorce, and that's actually more interesting than the fact that they're selling houses and buy low, sell high, and all of the other garbage. Don't mess with that. Just go find Angela.
Yeah.
Go find Howard. You know, let them sell you a home. They did. They worked for two of my old high school friends and got them squared away, and I think that all worked out really, really well.
I think the most important thing is to make sure that the person you're dealing with has a good reputation.
Does it
and
for
is
real.
Licensed.
Yeah.
Does it for real. Does it through, even if they don't work at a major chain realtor, you know, do they work for a real estate company that has a reputable, sterling, let's not even use reputable, let's say sterling reputation. So, because that's what you want.
All right. Well, we will probably see you. Carol is actually vying for your position in 2 weeks, so that would be great. We can have like old home days. We can like rotate through people
all
the time.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
Nothing wrong with that. The most important thing is, are you going to bring fried rice for
Matt Schellenberg?
Matt Schellenberg. And are you going to supply any names to the governor to fill in for city council spots?
Yeah, somebody mentioned to me that... You know, the Facebook page, facebook.com/ I'm Speaking Plainly, during the course of the week, I update that all the time. I tag things to that all the time. I put up little posts. I'm going to be doing that a lot more now.
And you know something I didn't hear you say, which is kind of bragging rights for folks before they cut us off with music, is that you were one of only two media people down when read the indictments.
That's true. It pays to have friends in places that know things are happening. So, yeah, I was one of only two that, in fact, I was out on a tree job and somebody said, go home, grab a jacket, you know, because to go into the federal courthouse, men have to wear a jacket, preferably jacket and tie. Women have to wear executive pantsuit or a dress. And so this guy calls me and says, hey, get down there. There's something you're going to want to see at about 9:45. And it's 8:45 and I'm on a tree job. So I went home and cleaned up, showered, threw on the Sunday suit, and headed down there. And, yeah, it was quite a surprise. Long time coming. Long time coming. I can't tell you. Sitting there and listening to it. And they read it in Old English style when they're reading out federal indictments. And so they had to go through all 38 of them and just read them out one right after the other. Hey, you guys have been listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. You've been listening to Holly sitting in with us tonight. We got a lot of co-hosts that are going to be rotating through in the next couple of weeks. I hope you'll tune in and enjoy it with me and some of the updated news that we'll have in the coming week regarding the city council issues. So for this week's edition of I'm Speaking Plainly, we're going to step away. We'll see you next week. Join us, won't you?